when you feel supported, when you feel that you have a community, a safe place that can understand you and help you, we can make a change.
Welcome to Ending Domestic Abuse, a one-of-a-kind virtual resource for helping victims escape abuse, empowering survivors, and preventing relationship violence before it can even start, by giving you the tools to improve your confidence, life skills, and hope. I'm your host, Dr. Ludi Green, a national expert on violence against women and children. I have advocated across the world and directly helped more than 1,000 abused women regain and maintain their freedom through economic independence. On my podcast, you will hear from top experts in fields like finance, economics, psychology, and many more. And you'll hear stories from people who have defied the odds, overcome abuse, and found their way to success. Together, we'll offer you support and practical ideas to pursue your goals, start on a new path, and protect yourself and others from abuse. Today, we'll be speaking with Mrs. Lavinia Balbonesi de Novoa, First Lady of Ecuador. Lavinia is a major advocate for preventing and ending domestic abuse, and is going to talk with us today about a program that will be introduced in Ecuador soon. Let's meet her after this short break. Welcome back to Ending Domestic Abuse, and this is your host, Dr. Ludi Green. Throughout the month of March, women's stories and achievements are celebrated and uplifted during Women's History Month. The month is dedicated to commemorating the vital role of women in society and history. It's held in March to coincide with International Women's Day, March 8, a day observed around the globe to recognize the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women. International Women's Day has roots going back over 150 years when women working in textile factories united and protested poor working conditions and gender inequality on March 8, 1857. Women's History Month and International Women's Day are both a part of the ongoing effort to highlight and recognize the history role of women in the progress of societies globally. While there's so much to celebrate in regards to the achievements of women internationally, we must remember that there is still so much to be done in working towards true equality and equity, especially as it relates to domestic violence. It is so important that we continue to support victims and survivors of domestic violence, and that we continue to have important conversations regarding this issue. This is why I'm so honored to be speaking to our guest today, Mrs. Lavinia Balbonesi de Novoa, the First Lady of Ecuador. In addition to the service she does as a First Lady, Lavinia is a businesswoman and has a background in nutrition and personal training. Within her work, Lavinia focuses on the prevention and rescue of women in violent situations. Welcome, Lavinia. Thank you so much for joining us on this program. We are so excited to have you today. And to start, will you please introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them a bit more about who you are and your background?
Thank you. Well, I'm Lavinia. I have 25 years old. In the history of Ecuador, I'm the youngest first lady that we ever have. And to tell you a little bit about me, I'm right now a specialist on fitness nutrition. But when I was like young and I was like preparing to this big world and in the college, I was thinking always that I will be studying political science. I was like prepare my whole childhood because my father is political. So I started learning Chinese, French, English, Italian. I was also able to go to Australia to work in the re-election campaign of the first minister in that time. But I was feeling like there was something else. And even if I was sure that was the thing I was ready to start studying when I graduated from high school, I was always like thinking, I'm not sure if I'm going to be the best. I'm not sure if this is the right decision. I know I have to do it because that's why my father told me. But after being like in Australia and working on this campaign, I started learning about nutrition and I started feeling about changes in my body and everything. And I was, when I came back, because I graduated from high school at 16 years old, I was like, I don't want to study political science. I want to study nutrition. So I talked to my dad and I told him like, you know, I think I want to study something else because I love it and I think I'm going to be the best. And my dad was like, I don't think I'm going to support you in this. So you're by yourself. And I was literally by myself when I was 18 years old. I lost my father's support, my mother's support. And I was like, okay, let's see how I'm going to survive because I doesn't really have where to live and how to pay my bills and how I'm going to start like learning about this career if I don't have like enough money to start. Well, I start working. I start giving Italian classes because I know Italian from my father. It's my second language. I start working on a Iceland that sells jewelry and all the things that I can.
So you can take care of yourself. It was able to take care of yourself.
So I started taking care of myself and well, I do it well. And then I learned, I meet my husband because I was able to pay me for a certification and start working on nutrition. And that's when I met Daniel. And when I met him, I never knew that he will go to run on a campaign. And I just fall in love with him and everything was amazing. And then one day he told me, okay, I'm ready. I want to be political and let's start a campaign.
But it seems that you're so resilient. So you were getting already prepared for this early in your life. So God prepared you for finding when you were going to meet this man, you know, who was going to be the president and you're already ready.
You know, I really love it because I think it's really hard, like going into campaign and seeing like, because it's so different to hear that we're a country that have that needs to help, that needs change, that see it, like seeing all these people, this woman hear all the stories is more what you expect. And that's how I think it started my need to work on women, because one of the hardest things that I heard all the time and was like the common denominator, it was that all the problems begins with any kind of violence. It could be psychological, sexual, and it was even more hard because I hear the mother, the grandmother, the uncles, like talking about these children, and they're like, okay, this happened to them by someone near the family or in the school, but they doesn't really know how to react.
And that's how you got into this program, right? A prevention and rescue women's victims of abuse. That's why you're getting into it.
Yes, because I was like, how I can help these children, like in a country that is still like so difficult to talk about abuse because the children doesn't feel safe. Even the mothers that are victims of abuse it's difficult to talk about it.
So how is women's rights and the issue of violence against women in Ecuador? You see, people are not familiar with listeners. We don't know. I know some, but not at the level because you live in the country. And what type of violence are women impacted?
Every seven of 10 women are victims of any kind of violence. The highest, of course, is like psychological, but the 38% of women are sexual abuse also.
It is very interesting that in your country, they're bringing out psychological, which is something so critical. No other country hear that, neither in the United States. We don't discuss much about psychological. Everything is about, you know, beaten, you know, more like physical. But I love the fact that you're doing that.
And, you know, also it's more easy like to treat and help like psychological because it costs less to the government, you know. Because if you start like a prevention campaign and teach them and make this safe place to them to go and talk about it, because I think that's the biggest problem in our country, that they doesn't feel safe. They go like to the hospitals, go to the psychologists, and they doesn't feel like they treat them well. So they go and they are like, I don't want to talk about it because I think that I'm going to be judged.
Right. They get embarrassed.
Yes. And it's also, I think that it happens in all classes. I just feel like my campaigns of school right now that we're more mature, we have family and we're able to talk about it. They told me one experience, one of my friends that he was in the high school and she needs points to pass a class. She goes to the teacher and the recess and the teacher touched her And she just let it happen, but she never talked about it. So when you don't talk about it, you are not helping anyone because you let him to do that. And you doesn't know how many girls and how far they have passed with him in that kind of situation.
Now, if you could share with us, Lavinia, the macro program of Ecuador's First Lady, which is yours, right? Prevention and risk for women in violent situations. We are so excited to hear. We would like to learn about how it is. And, you know, I had the chance to read a little bit, and it's truly one of a kind. So you can talk about that. It would be wonderful.
Of course. Thank you. Well, I have like three phases. The first and the most important is like prevention, and that works with education. So we want to go to, we're talking with the Minister of Education, and he opens his doors to let us go with, to talk to the children, to talk to the universities, and to teach them how to understand and how to react to this kind of situation. And then like our second phase is after like prevention and education for, so we don't let this situation happens to happen more often. We are want to help like these women that are already victim of abuse, because in Ecuador we have like the woman minister, so they have like these houses, like violent houses,
the shelters for victims of violence. Yeah, shelters for victims of violence. Okay, good.
They receive them and they give them psychological support, juridic support, and also they let them stay there like for 7 to 8 months. But that's all.
That's unbelievable. No, but that's a long time. We don't have that.
Well, but I think more, because if they doesn't feel like independent, empowered, they get out of this place and they get back to the circle. And that's where we get with this program. We want to, in these houses, teach them how to be financial, economical, independent, how to use their money, because there are a lot of women that have like a university, have been in the university, have a work and everything, but they don't even know how to use the money and how be financial independent.
So you want to create training programs inside those shelters as well?
Yes. And also like teach them how to be, I don't know, an assistant and a secretary. And we're so happy that like the work minister also give us like spots, so we can put these women after they're ready to work. So there's a way to empower them.
This sounds unbelievable. This sounds so much like a program that I created 20 years ago. It was an employment agency for victims of violence, but my program was just employment. So people will come. And my goal was to get involved the government like you are doing, which is the perfect thing. Get a percentage of their government jobs for women who are victims of violence. So I applaud you for those efforts and very happy that they're doing it, or they're willing to do it.
You know, I'm extremely happy because I think we have the support of all the government. Like everyone wants to help. Everyone is so open. And that's the only way to like to make a change, because if you want to start from zero and you're like, how to start and who can help me? But it's different to have all these open doors, because we have like 1 year and a half that we really want to make results to help this woman. And for me, like my goal after this year is to create like this first center, because we're in this place that I talk about you. I talk to you about it. They only receive women. So I want to receive these children that are victim of abuse.
Yeah, that's another thing. Sometimes we have only shelter for women, but not the children. So this is wonderful that they can take kids as well. Wow, this is great news to hear, you know, that's happening in one country around the world with this type of effort with a government. Also, is there any advice or words of encouragement you have for listeners that may be currently in a violent or emotional abusive relationship?
I think my most important advice that will be to them to talk, to not feel that fear to being judged, because it's something to happen to everyone. It maybe happened to your friend that is behind you, but she doesn't feel the same way. Like she feel like you, that like she doesn't want to talk about it. But the only way that cut this circle, I really help yourself and all the other women to feel like to feel representative and that feel that they have this safe place to talk about it and prevent it and stop it. Because when you feel supported, when you feel that you have a community, a safe place that can understand you and help you, we can make a change.
That is so true. Sharing, especially they can share, but sometimes they don't feel safe. So that's why they don't want to talk about it, because they don't know if that becomes a gossip instead of someone that can just listen to them and keep it for themselves. But that is a wonderful advice. And thank you so much for joining us today, Lavinia, to have this incredible, important conversation. And thank you for the work you're doing. It's huge. It really is. You have achieved already, like getting to talk to the Department of Labor and with the Secretary of Labor, and they're willing to start like giving apprenticeship programs or employment for even a minimum amount of victims a year. You're totally changing lives. Seriously, that's a big start around the world. And I feel just very honored to have you today. And the work you're doing on helping and ending domestic violence in Ecuador is just to applaud you. So tell me now, how can our listeners follow you and keep up with your work? Because I would like them to hear it, because there's so many people from around the world that I interviewed or that are my partners, and they need to know about this, your program, and about you. Could you please share with us a way to follow you?
Of course. Thank you for letting me be in this space that I'm super, super happy and honored, because I think if more people join us or help us with tips or information or experience, we can make this change that we really want to do. And in my social media, I'm like Lavinia Balbonesi, and you can follow me.
Lavinia Balbonesi, at Lavinia Balbonesi, right?
Yes, on Instagram. And there you can connect me everywhere.
And you can just Google as well, you know, First Lady of Ecuador and about the programs on domestic violence and your macro program in Ecuador. I mean, this is incredible. So thanks once again to our guest, the First Lady of Ecuador, Mrs. Lavinia Balbonesi de Noboa. And thanks to you for listening. No matter who you are or what you have been through, you can find help. And you can find a way out of abuse and into your new life. Send us an email through our website at ludigreen.com. That's ludigreen.com. Or you can call our abuse hotline at 202-643-2327. That's 202-643-2327. We'll help you find a way out to freedom. You can also find me on social media at Dr. Ludi Green on Instagram and Twitter. You can also help stop abuse by spreading word of our podcast. Just go on Spotify and please give us a 5-star rating or share your comments. Thank you again, and to Heather, let's all find the life you deserve.